Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Today on the On Enquirer podcast, I'm going to do something I've been wanting to do here for a while, and that's get a few former voices from Illini Enquirer back on the podcast. And my big topic today is who's good in the Big Ten? I think Purdue is good, at least regular season good. But who else is good in the Big Ten? Is the Big Ten good at all? It's crazy. Every night you just see these teams kind of beating up each other. Will it have an impact in March yet again where the Big Ten really struggles in the NCAA tournament? We will see. But right now, KenPom projects Purdue to go 15-5, Rutgers to go 13-7, and then nine teams to win between 10 and 11 games. Parity? Is it just mediocrity? We sorted out Isaac Trotter, 24/7 Sports, of course, formerly of Illini Enquirer, and Trevor Valise, our guy who's now at Field of 68, used to be producer here for Illini Enquirer. I bring them on the podcast to sort out who's good, who's a fraud, who do they still believe in, and of course, we dive into Illinois basketball as well. So it's a fun conversation. Getting you ready for Illinois Michigan State, of course, tonight, big game as we recorded this on a Friday, but figure we go a little more conference view with Trevor Valise and Isaac Trotter. That's coming up next on the Illini Enquirer podcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, figure we get the crew back together, and let's talk a little college hoops. We've been so Illini-focused. The Big Ten is insane, and two of the guys that you guys know well, back from the Jeremy Warner Show days, it feels like so long ago, and of course both have had their 10 years with Illini Enquirer. It's Trevor Valise of Field of 68, a producer over there with our boy Jeff Goodman, Rob Dowster, and all them, and Isaac Trotter, 24/7 Sports. Trevor, how you been, man?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm tired. There's a lot going on right now. It's a 7-day a week job, but I love what I'm doing, and I can't complain. So all's good over here.
Goodman working you hard? Like, what's the schedule like?
I feel like I need the Illini public to know that Jeff Goodman is basically just Lante with connections. the way that man texts, I feel like I'm talking a lot. There's a lot of exclamation points, a lot of periods, a lot of indentations, no slashes, no slashes on the haha. But there's a lot of Lante in Jeff Goodman where, you know, he'll get on and he'll be like, okay, now what the hell are we talking about? Or what are we doing? You know, help me set up the Zoom. So I just need you guys to know that, because if I tell anyone at work that, they don't know who I'm talking about.
It's perfect comp. And the slash haha. I love that. Isaac Trotter, how you been, man? Basketball season, grinding here.
It's been great. You know, everything's been good. A lot of basketball every week. And, you know, just getting to talk to Trevor and you guys and everything about basketball every night is kind of like my dream time. You know, like, this is like the best time of the year for me. And, you know, I don't know how much my wife likes it, but like, I would just want to watch basketball every single night. I have like multiple screens and everything going on. So that's just how it is every single night during college basketball season. It's great.
All right. So my first question to you guys, I didn't even have this in the rundown. We got to ask this every year. Is the Big Ten good? Isaac, go.
No, I don't think they're good. I think they're solid. I think they're really solid. But, I, you know, every single time I turn on an SEC game and see teams like Alabama flying around, I'm like, they don't have those type of athletes. So I think they're really good. I don't know if they're awesome or like have a national championship 100% contender yet. But like, it's still one of those leagues where at the same time, like, eventually at one point the dam is going to break and there's going to be four or five teams in the Sweet 16 just because the matchups went the right way. But at this point, I see teams with a little bit higher upside in a wide open college basketball.
Trevor, what do you think?
No. I mean, the team in first place in the Big Ten has one quad one win, one quad three loss, 4-1 possession games. The team in last place in the Big Ten has one quad one win, one quad three loss, 4-1 possession games. Indiana is in last place and they're ranked 10 spots higher than Michigan State, who is currently in first place. I don't think there's a good, like to Isaac's point, like Brandon Miller would kill anyone in this Big Ten in an NCAA tournament game. Alabama stud. Like, I just don't, you know, obviously depending on the matchups and the context, sure, there's a few teams that can make a run and we can hit on them. But I just don't, I don't think this is a good league this year.
I will say this, guys, I feel like the parity is the word here. And I know Purdue's had a lot of close games here recently. I still feel like everyone talks about, oh, this could be a really fun race. I feel like Purdue is going to win 14 or 15 games in the Big Ten. Like, I don't think they're going to be all that dangerous in the NCAA tournament. Like, high floor team, how high is their ceiling? I don't know. But kudos to Matt Painter. Like, I heard him talk about Braden Smith at Big Ten Media Days, Isaac. I'm like, I don't buy that. But I should, because Matt Painter is a really good coach. And those freshman point guards have been really good. So am I wrong to think that Purdue is the overwhelming favorite right here, Isaac?
No, I don't think you're incorrect at all. And it's just because they have such a high floor. And I kind of view like every single player on this Purdue team, their number one job is to give Zach Edey the basketball. And like, when you have that on your roster where everybody's like, their main job is that, that's a really good sign. But at the same time, like, this team could be like 25-1 and I'd still be wondering if they're really that good, you know, like, because like, I look at some stuff like Purdue right now during five Big Ten games, their net rating with Zach Edey off the floor is minus 15. When he's on the floor, it's plus 17. That's a 32-point swing. So it's like, how good is this team? How can they win six games in the NCAA tournament? I don't know. But they're an awesome regular season team because Zach Edey's going to get the ball every single time down the floor. They play defense this year at a higher level. Their defensive mistakes are way down compared to last year, even though last year's team was older. But again, I still think that, you know, you're one Zach Edey rolled ankle away from this team being very mediocre. Yeah. Very mediocre.
I know they lost, but did you ever honestly feel like they were the number one team in the country? Like they're number one and you're sitting there going, I don't know, like, I guess, you know?
It feels like, to me, they feel like TCU. It's like, yeah, sure, they deserve to be there, but come on, eye test, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of how I feel about Purdue. So who is the biggest challenger to Purdue? If Purdue does not win this league, who would you guys bet on today being that team?
I put down Illinois or Rutgers, and I'm half cheating on Rutgers just because they already beat him in Mackey, so it feels like they have a leg up on him in terms of, you know, Rutgers has more home games than away games the rest of the year. They get Minnesota twice, they get Nebraska twice, they get Northwestern again. I could see them being in a scenario where, as long as they take care of their business and they have like a tiebreaker over Purdue, they get there. But I don't know. Like, I agree with you guys. I think Purdue should be, I don't know, minus 250 to win the Big Ten, right? Like, I don't think this is a neck and neck race. But if I look at two teams that you know, have enough to put together a run to either beat Purdue or just have a better record than them, I would say Illinois or Rutgers.
Yeah, and I love Rutgers. Steve Peichel, he should be there for a lifetime. It's like the perfect fit. Like, they should never depart each other. And that was it's a fun team. Cam Spencer's exactly what they needed. They're great defensively. But if you're saying Rutgers is like a top contender, that answers the question previously, is the Big Ten good?
Agreed. And I have the same two teams written down. I think this current iteration of Illinois is good enough. Like we've seen all year, how long does this stick around? Are we convinced that this can be consistent? I don't know yet. Well, I guess we'll find out. I feel like tonight's game against Michigan State is going to be a really big test for this team, if they're for real or not. I also go back to the schedule. This Illinois schedule is pretty soft compared to some of their Big Ten counterparts. So if they can take care of business at home. Now, granted, we said that before the season, and you're kind of penciling in the Northwestern on the road as a win. And you're probably penciling in Penn State at home as a win, and you didn't get those. So you have to kind of catch up from those two games that you gave away. But this current iteration of Illinois is a team that can give Purdue a run because their half-court defense is the number one ranked team in the Big Ten, number five nationally, according to Synergy, and only Illinois and Purdue and Michigan are the three teams with a top half of the Big Ten half-court offense and half-court defense. So those are the only three teams really that are elite kind of on both ends right now. And Michigan's pretty mediocre in other aspects of their, you know, their bench and everything. But at the same time, like, the reason why Illinois could give Purdue a run is their depth. I think this is one of the deepest teams, if not the deepest team in the Big Ten. And if you are able to keep this consistent half-court elite defense together, that's a team that can give them a run. And you have a guy that you think could – or you have multiple pieces that you think could match up against Zach Edey in this matchup. So I feel like that one big game between those two teams is going to be really, really huge in how this thing goes. At the same time, though, like, Illinois I have no confidence that they can keep this consistency going because this is not a consistent team. So that's kind of where the state of the Big Ten is right now, when your second team that could give Purdue a run is maybe the most inconsistent team in college basketball so far this season.
Yeah, let's bring up Illinois just a little bit. If they were 3-2, I'd feel a lot better about it, right? Just having that extra loss at this point, whether it's the home loss to Penn State or the road loss at Rutgers, that one could really come back and haunt them in the Big Ten race. But yeah, when you pass the eye test like they have in certain games, the last two games, we know what they did early in the non-conference. There's just not teams that have looked that good in the Big Ten. Like, them at their best have looked great, but can they have the consistency, Trevor, to rattle off the 6 or 7 wins in a row it's going to take to overcome an 0-3 start?
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to. I mean, obviously the jury's still out, but I would be surprised if at this point forward, because at a certain point, it's just math, right? Like, if you start 0-3 and you want to win the Big Ten, and you think about what got them there last year, 15-5, right? In a tie situation. Now, obviously, I don't think this Big Ten is going to be as great. Like, 12-8 could win the Big Ten if Purdue struggles a few times. I don't know. But if you start doing the math, like, you know, Illinois is going to need to go 4 or 5 games above 500 at least the rest of the way to be in that discussion. Obviously, you only get Purdue once at their place. I think it's the last game of the year, is that right? Or the second to last game?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, you could go into that situation where maybe if everything falls your way, that's a, like, win and you win the Big Ten type of thing. But again, like, prove it, you know? Like, I'm not going to sit here today and say that's going to happen. It could happen, but I don't think that's the more likely thing to happen.
Isaac, I guess the bullish take would be maybe outside of Jalen Pickett, you got the best guard in the Big Ten.
I think so. And you could argue that you might have the best path to guarding Zach Edey as well, because you have multiple ways that you can guard him. You can play one-on-one with Dane Danger if you want. You can try to trap everything like Houston tried to last year against Kofi. Like, those are the two paths to it. And you need TSJ to be the best player on the floor in that type of matchup. But again, this is a team, like, I still think that there's still untapped upside because we still haven't seen the RJ Melendez breakout game. I think that's coming eventually with the way he can shoot the basketball. You still have different ways that you can win games. And I feel like Purdue has one recipe to win, and Illinois, I think, has 4 or 5. Now, can you get that A-plus version on that one night? I guess we'll find out.
All right, guys, let's move on to fraud alert. What team is off to a pretty good start that you're not buying at all?
I mean, Northwestern's the easy answer if you're just going to go for a little. I mean, it's not a cop-out, but do I think Northwestern is going to finish second in the Big Ten where they currently sit? No. Their defense is top 15 in the nation. I think that's legit, obviously. But, you know, you're beating Illinois, team that's reeling. You beat an Indiana team that's down two starters and is clearly reeling. I think I want to say Wisconsin just because I fundamentally hate everything about Wisconsin basketball and how they're the way they build their program, but you have to respect it. But the easier answer is Northwestern, in that I don't think they're going to stay. They're not going to be a double bye team come tournament time.
Is Northwestern an NCAA tournament team?
Right now they are. If you froze everything today, Kentucky would miss it. Northwestern would be in.
Come on, Trev. March. Are they an NCAA tournament team?
No.
Isaac?
I went Wisconsin over Northwestern. Those are the two that I circled as well. And the thing with Wisconsin this year, if you look at KenPom, it's like, oh, their defense is fine. But if you kind of dig into it a little bit more, their defense has not been very good this year. Half court defensively, they're 12th in the Big Ten. That's a problem. And then obviously losing Tyler Wall for a couple games really hurts. But I just look at this offense that they're running out as well, too. It's like they get so stagnant so quickly. And it's like, okay, Tyler Wall, you can't go under screens to Checky Hepburn because he's really good. Steven Crowell has his moments. Connor Sejan comes off the bench and can give you a little bit. And after that, it's like, what else is there? So when you have like this very limited offensive, you know, personnel, and then you can't play defense at times as well, that's a little iffy for me. And, you know, I think the writing on the wall a little bit, even with Wall healthy, was that weird 63-60 win over Minnesota. Now, Wall did get hurt in that game, didn't play the whole game, I don't think. But that was kind of like the writing on the wall that things were off a little bit. And even in late non-conference play, they were messing around with really bad teams and not playing very well. So I don't know. I'm just not really in on this current iteration of Wisconsin because I don't think they have enough offense, and I don't think their defense is as good as maybe it looks on the surface right now.
Yeah,
you heard that pun. Don't go past that pun. The writing on the wall. Tyler Wall. Come on.
Yeah, if Tyler Wall were healthy the last couple of games, I think they might have one more win. But yeah, I'm going to go Northwestern just because I don't believe in that offense. I don't. Boo booing Chase Audige, they're old. That's nice. That's probably going to make them more competitive than we thought, but it's just inefficient. The only reason they scored 73 against Illinois is Illinois couldn't stop fouling. Just stop fouling in that game. All right, I've been watching Ted Lasso with the wife. She loves it, so it's a great rewatch. So I'm gonna name this one after Lasso. The Lasso Believe. Hit the sign. What team's struggling early that you still believe in? Isaac.
Ohio State. I love Ohio State. What?
Can't quit them.
No, it's like a bad thing that I have for them. Like I just can't. Like I still really like this team, and I think last night was a really bad loss and a little fluky with some of the things that they did, and they nearly somehow won at the end against Minnesota. But this is still like arguably the deepest team in the Big Ten. I think that Bryce Sensabaugh is a star. Justice Suing has had moments where he looks like himself again. Now, my one concern with Ohio State is when they're at their best offensively, it's a little weird. It's like a lot of fadeaway mid-range jumpers from Suing and Sensabaugh at times. So that's a little bit of a concern. But at the end of the day, I still think this team has an untapped upside that they can get to, especially if Zed Key starts getting back and playing healthy. And we've seen them go toe-to-toe with Purdue and nearly win that game. We've seen them go toe-to-toe with North Carolina and probably should have won that game. Just a kind of weird things happen at the end of that game as well. So this is an Ohio State team that's young, they're deep, they have a chance to be really, really good. It's just kind of take them a little bit of time. And again, that injury to Zed Key really changed things. So I think we could be having a completely different conversation about Ohio State if he doesn't get hurt and they don't lose these last couple games.
Yeah, it feels like the team that I don't think is going to win the Big Ten, but they might be the one to get to the Sweet 16. Trevor, who you got?
Yeah, I put down Iowa. 0-3 a week ago, lose Patrick McCaffrey, then you go to the rack and win by double digits because, sure. I mean, that's a legit win. I know you could look at the Indiana and the Michigan games and say, you know, okay, you were down 21 to Indiana, then Race Thompson goes down. They should have never won that game last night, but they end up winning it in overtime. I get it, but in terms of a team that I can't quit, you know, you think about Chris Murray. Rabracha has been oddly very competent for them against decent competition so far. I just, with the way they shoot it, obviously, right, the way they play at home, that's a team where they're 0-3 and now they're right back in it at 3-3. So I can't give up on them just because of the way they can look. I mean, it's not Warriors, right? But it does feel Warriors-esque in Iowa City when they're down 10 and then you blink and they're up 2 and you're like, what just happened?
And they've won 3 straight games, Indiana, Rutgers, Michigan, despite Tony Perkins not playing well. So I think that talks about their depth. They just created Peyton Sanford out of an Iowa avatar, basically. And he makes huge shots. Chris Murray has had the season everyone thought he could have. They got depth, and that offense is just different than everybody. Like, Isaac, I know you were really high on Iowa coming into the season. I was, too. I picked them third in the league. It's just because they're a little bit different than everybody. They give challenges that other teams in this league really don't.
Yeah, the one thing with Iowa, too, is that, like, they've arguably not seen their best version of basketball yet either, because early in the season, you know, you're talking about a guy like Peyton Sanford, who's a knockdown shooter who couldn't buy a bucket. He was 0 for 19 from three, I think, or from the field in their first three Big Ten games. And then he gets back, gets rolling, but then Tony Perkins can't play defense now. He gets benched in the second half and plays 5 minutes and then doesn't even play in overtime against Michigan. Oh, and then you still don't have Patrick McCaffrey back. So we still haven't seen, like, the team that both you and I really loved and picked high in the Big Ten early in the preseason. We still haven't seen that group come together. I'm still not sure if we will ever see that, though. Yeah. That's maybe my concern.
Yeah, Tony Perkins is key to that for me. All right, completely average. What team are you most convinced finishes exactly at 10-10, which I think KenPom currently projects 7 Big Ten teams to finish 10-10. So, Trevor, 10-10 team, who you got?
Do you guys honestly believe that, like, 3/4 of this league is going to finish 10-10? In my mind, I'm like, there's going to have to be some sorting out. But then I look at it, I'm like, I don't know. Like, do you honestly believe the difference between a double bye in the Big Ten tournament and playing on Wednesday in the Big Ten tournament will be like half a game?
No, but it might be 2.
Spin the wheel. I don't name a team. I'll make a case. I don't. Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan. I don't like. I'll say Michigan, I guess, because that strikes me as a team that is going to have 10 very good performances and 10 very questionable ones. But, I mean, I could make a case for half a dozen teams here.
Isaac?
Yeah, I had Penn State written down just because I think that there's going to be 10 games where all their threes drop, and then there's going to be 10 games where they can't make a three, and that's kind of how it feels like with them. And I love Jalen Pickett because I compare him to Kofi a little bit in a different way. Like, Penn State doesn't play 5-out basketball. They really play 4-out, 1-in, and Jalen Pickett is their one guy in at 6'4", not Illinois at 7'285 pounds. So I would go Penn State just because I think against certain matchups they're going to really struggle. Like, if you have an elite back to the basket big man, they're probably going to give up like 25-26 points a game to those type of players. But then when their threes are dropping, they're going to beat a lot of teams. So I think that they're really good and a lot better than what I expected them to be, but I still think they'll finish 10-10 in the league. And honestly, finishing 10-10 in the league with their roster isn't a bad thing at all.
No, that'd be a huge season for Micah Shrewsbury. I'm going with Michigan with Trev. Like, I just the roster doesn't make a lot of, I didn't like their offseason. I thought they really needed a different shooter. Of course, if they have Terrence Shannon, we might be talking about a different story here. I watched this team and it feels like a bunch of individuals, doesn't it? Like, I just don't see a connectedness, but they have enough talent that they should win 10 games. Like, they should win more than 10 games. I don't know. I just feel uninspired when I watch Michigan basketball.
I don't understand Juwan Howard's rotations at all. Like, I don't get it. Like, his infatuation with Terrence Williams, why? Like, I don't understand it. There's times where Terrence Williams will knock down some threes, or sometimes he'll play some defense, but for the most part, there's often games where he plays 31 minutes of cardio and doesn't really give them much. And then last night, they go 2 big lineup with Terrace Reed and Hunter Dickinson together, and I'm like, did you not learn from last year? Like, the Musa Diabate, like the 2 big lineup last year didn't work at all. I just don't understand the rotations that they're running, and obviously losing Jalen Llewellyn hurts, and Joey Baker has not been what they expected him to be this year, but they're thin and the rotations are funky, and there's only so much that Jet Howard can do. Like, Jet and Hunter have been their best two players, but outside of that, it's like Kobe Bufkin's had up and down. Doug McDaniel's been up and down, but it's a lot of like guys that think could be good, you think could be really good, but it just doesn't mesh. And then these rotations just bother me. It's really frustrating.
It's 14-11 the last 2 years in the Big Ten with Hunter Dickinson. That's not that great to me.
Well, and teams are getting away with double teaming him like crazy because they don't pass the basketball well enough to get it to Jet for the open looks. Sometimes he'll get his open looks, and then he'll other times, like when they don't get the basketball in either of those two guys' hands, it's ugly sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's really ugly. So it's just frustrating because, like, if they play some certain lineups, like there's guys on their bench that don't play very much that I'd like to see get given a shot, like Isaiah Barnes. had a game where he comes out, knocks down two big threes for them against Kentucky, and then now he's AWOL and can't get on the floor, and they don't want to play four out with Hunter Dickinson inside. I just don't understand it a little bit. And maybe that pivot is coming, and maybe Juwan Howard has something up his sleeve, but it's been frustrating to watch that team because they should be a lot better than what they are.
All right, Nebraska and Minnesota need company, guys. Kudos to Ben Johnson. I thought he was going to have a heart attack towards the end of that game last night. But to get the all-access stuff is phenomenal, by the way. I love watching that. But Nebraska and Minnesota will finish under 500 in this league. You need another team. So if you have another team that no doubt finishes under 500 in this league, who would you pick right now? Go, Trevor.
First of all, I almost feel like they need no announcers on the all-access.
Yeah.
Because it almost feels like the play-by-play guy is sort of in this awkward position where he doesn't quite know what to narrate and what to let the coaches narrate. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like if they just leaned into it further and said, listen, if you're here to watch the game like a normal person, find other entertainment because this is just going to be the coaches talking. But I digress. I'm saying Indiana. They're 1-4. They're missing two starters. That means they'd need to win 9 more games at least to finish at 500. And they still have Illinois twice, Michigan State twice, Purdue twice, Wisconsin twice. Find me 9 wins with the current roster construction.
Toughest schedule in the league, right? Isaac, I'll raise my hand. I picked Indiana by default is the leader in this conference because, I hated it. But it was just because I didn't know who else to pick, right? No one thought Purdue would be this good. No one thought their guards would be this good. They had a terrible offseason, in my opinion, but it turns out Matt Painter was right. Like, I liked Michigan State, but I thought they were a center away, and I still think they're a center away from being the best team in the league. So I picked them, but I didn't think it'd be this. Like, their defense is atrocious.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because at the beginning of the season, it was like, okay, what are the two things that we have big questions about with Indiana? Well, they can't shoot. Well, they can shoot this year. They're shooting really good this year. Like, let me pull it up on KenPom. I think they are, 37.8% from three this year, top 35 in the country. That works. But they can't guard. And that was one thing I kept watching, like writing and talking about this year. It's like, yeah, they have a lot of the same pieces back, but they're playing these younger guys. Like, Tamar Bates didn't play a lot last year. Jalen Hood-Schifino didn't play, obviously, for them last year. Like, are we expecting them to be really good defensively? And they were a mess against Penn State with a lot of new faces in there. Like, they had some defensive breakdowns that were atrocious that gave up 18 threes to Penn State. And Trev, you took the words out of my mouth. Like, their schedule is daunting. I don't see the path to 11 Big Ten wins here at all. So I do think that they're going to finish under 500. And, you know, Trace Jackson Davis has put the team on his back, had a triple-double, like trying to convince for a triple-double.
So much so that it's hurting his back.
Exactly. And so we have a situation now with like this Indiana team had all this preseason hype, all this hoopla, and everyone's going to go, well, what went wrong? And they'll go, oh, it's just the injuries. I don't know if it was just the injuries because when they were fully right, it still didn't look pretty. It still did not look pretty against good teams. They have not beaten a team that's top 100 in KenPom since November. And that and now maybe that ends tomorrow, but like that's a long time.
That's a great point. I was going to say, like, I think they lose to Penn State by 5 if they're healthy. It's just that they weren't healthy and they lost by 25 and it was a layup line. But I don't know that if we're sitting here a month from now and they've got 5 more losses, I don't think we're sitting here going, well, if only they had Race Thompson, you know, those 5 losses would then be wins. I don't think so.
You know what's interesting, guys, is like I thought Mike Woodson would always be a good defensive coach no matter what. Like, I didn't like that hire. I thought that hire was weak. I just thought Indiana can do better. I think they should aspire to be high. We thought, could he recruit? He's actually recruited really well by the rankings, but Trevor, I think your guys brought this up. Hummel and Goodman were talking about this. The roster construction doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, sure, there's a lot of talent there, but I know they're shooting a little bit better, but I still don't buy them as some great shooting team. And these pieces just don't seem to fit all together. I mean, Race and Trace are great players. They don't really complement each other all that well. Renew doesn't complement Trace all that well. So the roster construction, though they've recruited well by the rankings, it just hasn't made a lot of sense.
Yeah, and again, like to Isaac's point too, and to your point, I don't really know. A lot of people picked them to win the Big Ten, right? Because, again, it was sort of a default answer based on who they had coming back. But, I mean, I'll repeat it again. Like, they were under 500. Half their team was suspended against Northwestern last year. They put together a great 3 weeks, which, great. But I mean, they make the tournament and St. Mary's just blasts them. I mean, they won like 83 to 50 something. And the highlight of the game was the cheerleader getting the ball down. Like, that's all anyone remembers from that game. So I don't know. It didn't make sense going into it. There were weird offseason quotes from Woodson that we've brought up, right? Where he says, like, I don't know what he said, something like threes don't matter, long twos are fine. I don't, he's just been weird. And watching Jeff Goodman squirm, as a side note, on Indiana has been a small joy of mine so far this year.
Well, and it's a shame because Jalen Hood-Schifino has been awesome.
Yeah.
Like, really, really good. Shooting the three way better than we thought. Like, he has moments where he looks like the Big Ten Freshman of the Year in a loaded Big Ten Freshman of the Year race, and it doesn't matter. And, like, that's like the frustrating part, because like this roster should be a lot better than what it is, and that's on Woodson at this point.
And the frustrating part for Indiana fans, you might only have Hood-Schifino for 1 year, right? And might not be able to make the most of it. All right, guys, who's your favorite player to watch right now in the league? Isaac, I'll let you go first.
I mean, it's Bryce Sensabaugh. A second year in a row, Ohio State freshman is my guy. Like, if you look at Bryce Sensabaugh's shot chart, it's just like, okay, at the rim, red, well above average. Mid-range, red, well above average. From three, well above average. Like, he is an elite three-level scorer. And he kind of reminds me a little bit of like David Roddy from Colorado State, just like a kind of like an awkward body, maybe like a Ron Harper Jr., a little bit like awkwardish body, but he just gets buckets, man. Like, he has been awesome so far this year. So he's been really good. Defensively is an issue, but offensively, like, I'm just here to watch buckets, and he's going to provide them almost every single night. And then the second guy is probably Jet. Like, Jet has been really, really fun at moments too. And I think he pulled from the logo yesterday a couple times against Iowa and knocked a one down. Like, he's been awesome. Those two freshmen have been really good. The youth in like in this league is really, really talented.
Who is the freshman of the year right now, Isaac? I'd go Sensabaugh probably, but
yeah, I think it is Sensabaugh. But like, this Sensabaugh, Howard, and Hood-Schifino combo is a really, really tough race. Like, it is a tough race, and I don't think Indiana's going to win enough. I'm not sure Michigan is going to win enough, and then Ohio State's on this losing streak now, so it's like this weird like kind of balance. But Sensabaugh has been the most important player for Ohio State so far this year, so I would give him the nod there, just because Hood-Schifino has Trace, and then Jet obviously has Hunter. But Bryce doesn't have a lot of help, and he's kind of going for 19 every single night, even though he's the number one guy in the scouting report.
Trevor, who's your favorite player?
Isaac and his Ohio State freshman. He can't quit him. I wrote down two. One, Pickett, for the reason Isaac mentioned. I just freaking love, he's a walking triple-double, first of all. I love the fact that he will, like, back down Caleb first and score, and then take on the point guard and score. Like, I don't know if it's like a no-fear thing on top of talent or what it is, but that guy just does not give an F on the court, and he's just flying around everywhere getting triple-doubles. I love his game.
If Trent Frazier had not come back for a fifth year, I wonder if he'd be at Illinois right now.
That's a good question.
Because they liked him. They liked him a lot. But Trent came back. And hey, worked out for Illinois and Trent. But it's just interesting. Who knows?
Other guy wrote down, Cliff Omorui.
Oh.
His similarity, I like the similarity score on KenPom. His similarity score is Armando Bacot last year. Dude's nuts. I mean, he goes up against Edie and dunks on him. Like, every year so far. Like, I just
did it to Kofi last year, yeah.
I think he's a crazy underrated player in terms of when we talk about the big men in the Big Ten. I think everybody mentions, well, at least last year, right? He was probably like fifth or sixth, but he should have been second or third in that discussion. And I really like watching him.
The other Rutgers guy on that team that's really fun is Mawat Mag. Watching him play defense he is a freak defensively. Like, he is everywhere at all times. Like, he's so locked in. So that whole Rutgers team, just watching them defend, and then you could throw in Cam Spencer if he wants some offense. Like, that's a really, really interesting team sometimes.
Yeah, and I think Cam Spencer just makes Paul Mulcahy's job even better. He doesn't have to score as much. He lets everybody else do everything. Caleb McConnell doesn't have to score as much. I love Steve Peichel's team. Like, he might be my coach of the year. Like, Matt Painter is going to be in that discussion. I love watching Rutgers. Like, everything you want out of a Rutgers basketball team, they are, man. Like, they might not have the talent to compete with some teams. Like, maybe not the talent to be an Elite Eight team at some point, but watching them every night is a joy because they play hard, they play together, and they just have the pieces, unlike some of these other teams we're talking about, that just complement each other so well. So, like, one of my favorite teams to watch so far during Big Ten play is Rutgers, because you know what you're going to get every night.
Well, I think – go ahead, Trev.
I think if they're like a seven and they get a two that – I'm trying to think of who would be a two right now. Like, I don't know. That could be an upset matchup, in my opinion, if they get the right – again, all about context, right? But I think they're one of the Big Ten teams that
they got Texas.
Depending on the matchup, I could see them making a Sweet 16.
No, I agree. And the one thing I was going to say about Rutgers that I love is their attention to detail on the scouting report is so good every single game. Like, they are so well coached in that regard. Like, if you're not a shooter, they will help off of you every single time. And it feels like every single guy on their team knows exactly what their job is supposed to be. Hey, I'm Cam Spencer. I'm supposed to make big shots in big moments, and I'm not afraid to do those things. I'm Paul Mulcahy. I know that I'm supposed to handle the basketball and run the show and get into the lane and make decisions and draw two defenders. I'll do that every game. Like, Caleb McConnell, I'm going to play defense. Cliff, I'm going to dunk on your face every single game. Like, everybody does their job every single time. And their scouting reports are awesome. And let's not forget, they should have one more Big Ten win other than for that Ohio State disaster where that should not have counted. And they should have one more Big Ten win and have even more hype right now.
I'm disappointed neither of you mentioned Kisei Tominaga from Nebraska. He is just...
Oh, I knew you were taking him, so I knew I didn't have to write him down.
It's just a joy to watch. Though I was really disappointed in him. Didn't fall on that ball. RJ Melendez beat him to it, so kudos to RJ for the hustle star there. The other one for me, Isaac, is Dane Danger. His defense, man. It's going to be huge. If Illinois is going to make a run, I think Dane Danger, his defense is going to be absolutely monstrous moving forward. I know we hit on a little bit of Illinois, but I just want you guys, before we get out of here, you get your take. You get to throw out whatever take you have on Illinois. So, Trevor, go ahead. What do you think of this Illinois team? How do you think they end up?
I think the Nebraska game was the most encouraging one we've seen since Texas, probably. I think even if you looked at the Wisconsin win, to me at least, that felt more like Coleman hit six threes and Wisconsin was missing Tyler Wall. Like, I don't think you look at that in a vacuum and go, okay, that solved everything. Copy-paste that performance against any top 15 team and you're coming out with a win in that game. Now, I think the Nebraska game, in an opposite way, just like maybe people were overrating they got off the schneid against Wisconsin, I think people are underrating them winning by 26 at Nebraska, because Nebraska was 6-1 at home, 7-0 against the spread. It was a 3-point spread and you won by, I think, 26. Like, I don't think some people probably look at that and go, okay, great, you know, they beat Nebraska. Nebraska's tough at home this year. I think you should view that win just as important as you would view a win at, I mean, it sounds crazy, but, you know, Michigan right now or something like that. Yeah. So the way the ball moved in that game, like, that was just so – it was such a crisp game all around. It just felt like the ball was humming. Everybody was making the right decision. Everybody was hustling. Like, I know RJ still missed a few badly, and then he made a few. That such is the RJ Melendez experience so far this year. But to me, that's a performance that I think is the most build upon it going forward type performance you've had in a while, which is why I'm very curious to see what they look like tonight against Michigan State. Again, welcome to the Big Ten, where Michigan State is in first place right now, but Illinois is favored by 6.5 and climbing tonight. Like, that's just what it is, being at home in the Big Ten. But I honestly think that Nebraska performance was the most encouraging performance I've seen in a month plus. I don't think that's a hot take by any means, but I just think that truly is something they can build upon going forward here.
Isaac, what you got?
Yeah, I'm with you, Trev. I just think that every time that this team sits down and plays defense, they're nasty, like really, really nasty defensively. And that's one thing I feel like I can count on with them every night. But, man, I can't lie. I still have this weird feeling in my gut that we're just going to see some reversing back to some of these bad habits. Like, I don't know why. I just kind of still feel like eventually you're going to have a game or two where those bad habits creep in again. And so I'm just interested to see how this team handles a little success again. Like, they handled success not that great the last time after Texas. And so now it's like, oh, the vibes are good. Like, we got, like, our team back together. We're playing good now. Like, how do we handle that? So I think that when they sit down and play defense, they're really good. But I was kind of working on this take with a couple of you. It's just like, should we have seen this bipolar team coming a little bit?
I think a lot of us did. I think a lot of us knew the ups and downs would happen. I didn't think they'd lose both Penn State and Northwestern. Like, if they were 12-4, 3-2 in the Big Ten, I'd say that's about right with some good wins. I could have predicted the Missouri game before the year. It seems like every year that happens. But this is kind of the Brad Underwood formula. It's just, my question is, this team will be an NCAA tournament team, in my opinion. This team will be dangerous. Maybe it's got a chance in the last 2 weeks, maybe outside chance of winning the Big Ten. I just think they have too much talent, too much versatility, too much depth. And to be honest with you, I know people questioned him a couple weeks ago, but Brad Underwood's a good coach. And I think they're going to figure this thing out. And I think they are right now. I still think they have the great schedule ahead of them. I just don't know if the consistency is going to be there. And for me, the guy I look to for that is Terrence Shannon. He was a ghost against Northwestern. He was a ghost against Penn State. That guy cannot have 8 shot attempts or 7 shot attempts in a game. When you see him like he was against Wisconsin, Nebraska, being aggressive to the rim, it seems like everybody else settles in when he does that. So that's the key for me, is because he is the best guard in the Big Ten, in my opinion. Maybe Jett's more talented. Maybe he's got a higher ceiling. Maybe Bryce Sensabaugh. You know, some of these guys maybe have a higher ceiling in the NBA, but he's an NBA guard, and he needs to play like it and play like the alpha, and he has the last couple games.
And he sets the tone for everybody else, because I think Jaden Epps's aggressiveness to get into the lane really blends off of what Terrence Shannon's doing as well. And I look at Epps right now as, like, we saw what Malachi Branham did down the stretch last year for Ohio State, becoming like an asserting himself as one of the best players in the Big Ten. Like, Epps, maybe not quite at that level because of the rest of the other team and how many talented guys they have on that team compared to what Ohio State had last year. But I think Epps could have a similar type of ascent into being like, hey, you want to go average 13, 14, 15 points a game down the stretch? You can do that. And Terrence set the tone by, hey, I'm going to attack the rim as often as I can. And now you're seeing Jaden get into the lane a lot, and he creates a lot of really good looks for his teammates too. So if you can have Terrence play like the best, you know, guard in the Big Ten, and you have Jaden play like an all Big Ten freshman down the stretch, I think that's when you can start to see this team be really, really scary, because they got 4, 5, 6 guys that can win a game for you on any given night.
Yeah, Trevor, and the other guy I want to shout out is, like, I know he's only had 10 points the last couple games. Matthew Meyer, I think, has played his best games. At least complete games. Like, he obviously, Texas was ridiculous. He scored 21 against Alabama A&M. Had 17 against Northwestern. I didn't think he played that well in that game. But just the team basketball he's played, he still has defensive possessions that aren't that great. But just the way he's moved the ball, I just think it connects everybody. So to see him get going, because it allows Coleman, it allows Terrence, it allows Jaden, all these other guys. Matt can make a bunch of money hitting corner threes and passing the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right that I think the defense still leaves a little bit to be desired. I don't want to declare overall that, like, when Isaac says this team's going to have a few more hiccups, I'm not saying they aren't. I completely agree with that. I don't think now it's like, well, everybody's good, everybody's solved, like, here we go, they're going to, you know, go 15-2 down the stretch here. But I think both Meyer and Shannon in the last few games have been extremely encouraging, just based on the tenacity on both ends, the effort, getting downhill, passing, like, all that stuff has looked a lot better the last two games. And I don't, you know, from a national narrative perspective, a lot of the guys who jump on these calls before our shows, because they know I'm the Illinois guy, goes, man, how much did everybody hate Sky Clark? Because it looks like everybody's suddenly passing the ball 10 times better. And I push back on that a little bit to them, right? Like, I'm not like, yep, that was it. That was the sole reason why everybody's just flipped the switch all of a sudden. But, I mean, you kind of have to at least bring it up, right? Because, again, like, some of these guys' passing looks like night and day from a month ago to now.
One more before we let you go. Who's your favorite team in college basketball right now? Like, who's the national title contender, the team you think is – the definite Final Four team? You guys watch a lot more college basketball nationally than I do.
Every time Alabama comes on, like, they just pop off the screen. Like, there's still some issues with them because they're young and they got some, like, the guard play can be a little bit inconsistent. But Brandon Miller is huge and long and athletic. Noah Clowney, super long and athletic. They're deep. Dom Welch is a guy from St. Bonaventure, the transfer, who's a really nice piece for them that still hasn't asserted himself. So I really like that team. And I mean, here comes Kansas again. Like, I know that they've been a little bit lucky in some late game scenarios with getting the favorable calls at home, but they're playing different this year. 5 out. Kevin McCullough has been a
They don't have a big man. I mean, right. How about that, Isaac? Like, they're playing with KJ Adams as their 5.
Yeah, like, and he's been great. He's been great for them. Like, 5, 6 games in a row of 14, at least 14 points. So Kansas and Alabama are the two teams that I go, man, those have really, really interesting teams. I would not want to see them in my bracket because they have a chance to be really special. And like, I don't know if a lot of people have seen how much better Jalen Wilson has gotten. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you have, like, this narrative in your head of what Jalen Wilson was compared to what he is now. He is a lot better. And I think Grady Dick can get a lot better. And obviously Bill Self is Bill Self. So that those two teams are the ones that really pop off the page. And then Houston. Houston's nasty.
The problem with Houston is just going to be, I don't know if anybody's going to care about them for the next 2 months. They're going to be really good. But, you know, the other night they're out, they're losing at home to South Florida for a minute. And it's like, okay, you know, like if they were to take one, just because, look, a team's not going to go 3 months without having an L unless they're elite elite, which maybe they are. I think people will probably be like, okay, Houston, you know, they don't play anybody. Memphis, are they that great? Maybe they lose to Memphis. But I think that's a deep team. I think Tennessee is another team. And I hate to go all SEC on our favorite teams here, because I don't know that the league is the best in the country. I think that's the Big 12. But Tennessee's got the number one defense right now. I think it was – I want to say it was Terrence Oglesby on our show the other night said, it looks like it hurts to play Tennessee. Like, they're just a physical, beat-you-up team. And if I had to put my stamp on something, I would say that this is a year where Rick Barnes finally gets to an Elite Eight or a Final Four or something like that with Tennessee.
Well, and the data says you need 2 point guards to win. They got three. So Tennessee has three different guys that can – be a lead guard, and that's really impressive. So yeah, I'm with you. Tennessee and Alabama are really, really fun teams to watch.
Isaac, you off the must bus? Have three losses in four games?
I'm not off the must bus, but man, their offense is a train wreck. And I feel bad for them a little bit without Nick Smith Jr., the five-star guard, and without Trayvon Bazile. Like, those two guys not having them just changes things, but their offense gets really stagnant. They can play some defense and that's fine. And if when they get out in transition, it's fun, but it's a little frustrating right now because they just don't have enough. Like, they literally will play lineups with one guy who's an above 35% three-point shooter. Like, that's a really tough recipe to win when you can't shoot at all.
Well, guys, this was fun, man. Isaac Trotter, Trevor Valise. Boys, we'll have to do this again in a month and see if we figured out who's good in the Big Ten, because I don't know if we'll know by then.
It might just be a repeat of what we're doing now, but that's fine. I'll do it again.
We can tell again why Northwestern stinks, even though they're probably like 12-7 in the Big Ten.
And Isaac can wax poetic about some other Ohio State freshman who's popping off.
Thank you, Trevor.
Yep.
Thank you, Isaac.
Anytime.
Great stuff. Appreciate those guys coming on. We will do that again, you know, in a couple of weeks, maybe a month, mid-February. See where we're at in the Big Ten and sort all this out yet again. All right, everybody, enjoy the Illinois-Michigan State game. Give us a follow wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate that. Give us a rating and review. Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe to us. Hit the like button. That really, really helps us out. And, of course, check out all the latest in Illinois basketball, Illinois football, Illinois women's basketball, all at IlliniEnquirer.com. Everybody, take care of each other. Have a great day. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Enquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.